Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
All right, guys. I hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday. I know I'm having a great day. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. You are listening to Big Exclusives, and I am Valerie Denise Jones. We got Philo the Great in the building. Can't wait to bring him on to conduct today's interview. We have got a great show for you today. So, before we get started, I want to make sure that I remind everybody to please make sure that you keep your background noise at a minimum because we do share our episodes on other platforms. Also, big shout out to everybody who during the show tweeting, sharing the information with people, letting them know that we are live, we are here, and that they are welcome to call in. The number, again, is 929-477-1167. But yes, definitely, we need you to tell a friend who will tell a friend that we are here, and we will be here until about 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But yes, tweet, share, talk, simulate thought, do whatever you got to do to let people know. We got the one and only Cheryl, the Pearl, in the building. I'm looking at her Facebook page, and yes, man, wow, please make sure that you visit it. She's got a Facebook page, Cheryl the Pearl Music. Don't forget to add the M-U-S-I-C on the end. Now, our guest is a part of Sequence. Yes, they are out of Columbia, South Carolina, to be exact. They formed in 1979, and they're noticed as the first female hip-hop group who was signed to the Sugar Hill label in the late 70s and early 1990s. Yeah, so, all right, guys, I want to play something for you real quick because I want to set the tone. I definitely want to do that. Now, this is the shortest of them. Not necessarily, you know, I'm not putting in any particular order because I love all of them. But this one is called Got Love. And when we come back, we will talk and then toss it to Philo the Great.
Holding on when we know that it's over. Trying to save what is already gone. Trying to figure out where did we go wrong. I'd rather leave you than to hurt you. Cause I know that I don't deserve you. Ain't it funny when the tables turn? I could be a lesson learned. God, yes, I still got.
Still got love.
Ain't nobody with the
All right, guys, welcome back, welcome back. I tell you, if you're Caribbean, you understand when I say that song makes you pull out a dirty wine. But anyway, if you're not, then maybe you won't get that joke. But anyway, got love in my heart for you. And speaking of folks, I got love in my heart for, why don't we go on and welcome the host, the other host, the better half of this show, CeeLo the Great. And hold on, CeeLo, because we got to bring you in proper. I know what you like. So yes, sir. Welcome. This is Tennessee.
Yeah, what it do? How y'all doing?
I know, right?
You, Jess, the listeners, the loved ones, the philosophers, everybody who's down with the movement. What it do? Love y'all. You know how we get down. Another beautiful Tuesday. How's your day going so far, Valerie Denise Jones?
Yeah, I'm blessed. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate you. So are you ready for today's guest? Because I tell you, those lyrics, if that doesn't set the tone, I don't know what's going to set the tone.
Well, I just want to let you know, that song right there, Love in My Heart, that's one of the, like, cleanest songs, like, I didn't heard it so far. I was doing my research. Come on. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we definitely got to talk about it. Actually, you'll talk about it. I'm going to sit back and, you know, with my non-alcoholic libation pen and paper, and I'm going to take some notes. I see a bunch of people, familiar numbers, you know, on the board. Big shout out to Jeff Kwan. I see a lot of people from Ohio, the West Coast, and a few friends down there. From Duval County. Duval County's in the house. So I see also a couple of Carolina numbers. Thank you guys so much for everything, as well as our international listeners and people who are chiming in via the chat room and on social media. Again, please keep sharing the link. Tell a friend who will, you know, join us via either the rooms, the chat rooms, to social media, or they'll call in and ask a few questions if we have time. So we got here for about 45 minutes, so I won't hold her hostage. I'm going to go on at this time and go on and open up her line, 803-497. How are you, ma'am?
Hello,
how are you? You are live. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Valerie. Thank you and Philip for inviting me to come on. I appreciate you guys.
Amen. So I want to ask you one more question before I ship out, because I want to leave you in good hands, and that hand would be CeeLo the Great. How many babies you think were made to your songs? I mean, have you ever really thought about that? Like, how many people were born because of you? How many people consummated the relationship because of you?
Oh, boy.
They had love in their heart.
Yeah, I wrote that song. That song is about 10 years old. And I decided to put it on Facebook and just to see, you know, how many people would like it. Would accept me back into the music thing. I wrote that song because, you know, we be in relationships, and people know how to get in relationships, but they don't know how to get out of it and still have love for
each
other.
Say that again.
You know, so I think it took me like 10 or 15 minutes to write the song. You know, once I got the subject and I felt the music and stuff, everything else just started falling in place with that song, and it's going to be on my album that's coming soon. You know, I'm working on a lot of new music now, so that'll be one that I'll bring back and put out with the public.
Okay. Well, I love it. I absolutely love it.
I don't know how many babies, you know.
You stay in
touch. I don't know how many babies came, but God bless them all.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet quite a few too, and I bet a bunch of little girls, they named them after you, Cheryl.
Sure,
you know,
oh, that's
a,
so nice.
Yeah, a nice name. Yeah, definitely that. Yeah. So I am going to, at this time, go on and turn you over to Philo the Great, and
okay.
I'll just touch bases with you towards the end, because he's
okay.
going to ask you some questions regarding your career and all of that, and I'll check in. We'll have some girl talk before we let you go.
Okay, that'll work.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, well, well. Guess who
well.
It is? It's me, Philo the Great. And I'm here with Cheryl the Pearl. So let's jump into this interview. I hope everyone out there is having a great day. As Valerie mentioned, I hope you got your non-alcoholic libations, your pen and your paper, because we're about to go in. So, Cheryl the Pearl, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Phil. How you doing?
For all the listeners out there who are millennials, who are don't stretch as far back as 1979, when you all funk you up. And I just want you to give the our loved ones, our listeners, because you all hold a iconic title. And for all those who don't know this iconic title, it is the first ever, the first ever female rap group known as The Sequence, which consisted of my guest, our guest, Cheryl the Pearl, Blondie, and Angie B. So, Cheryl, why don't you go ahead and give it to us, give us that history, that 1979 when you all got together and was discovered by Sylvia Robinson of Sugar Hill Records. So why don't you go ahead and let the listeners know about that time.
Okay, it was October the 20th on Blondie's birthday. She turned 20 that year. We went to the Township Auditorium here in Columbia, South Carolina, where we were discovered at. Ms. Robinson was backstage. It had this big Sugar Hill thing coming to Columbia, and we was like, we got to get there. We was at Earth, Wind, and Fire like the week before, and the guy was telling us to send him a tape, and we was like, you know, okay, we'll do that. But then we never heard nothing back from him. So when we heard the Sugar Hill Gang was coming, we was like, we got to go there. We got to get in. And Blondie had this guy that was, you know, like kind of managing us, telling us that we got passes, just go. They're going to let you in. You're going to get backstage. But when we got there, it was a different story. There was no passes. There was no, you know, no way. That was like, we don't have your name on the list. And we was looking like three, you know, little southern girls sitting there like, we crazy. What do we do now? So a guy by the name of Harold Miles, God bless his soul, he was the Sugar Hill Gang's road manager. And he saw us out there trying to get in. And he came to the door, and he was just flirting with Angie, you know, I'm going to get you in, I'm going to get you in. And Angie was like, nah, you got to get all three of us in, because we can out, you know, we can beat those guys. We can beat them rapping. And rap to us at the time was like cheering. You know, we were cheerleaders, so me and Angie wrote a lot of cheers, a lot of chants, and that kind of helped us with what, you know, we were forming with the Sequence was basically chants and rhymes. So he got us backstage, and Ms. Robinson was there, sitting there in this room, and he was trying to get this other guy to listen to us, and he was like, send a tape, and we was like, nah, we're trying to tell you we could beat them guys. We just as good as them. And so she said, Ms. Robinson said, I'll listen to you. And so we went in the room with her, and we started singing some songs we had. And she wasn't quite interested in some of the songs we were doing. And we were getting ready to walk out, and I said, we didn't do Funk You Up. And we said, would you hear Funk You Up? And she said, sure, come on back in here and do it. We started going in, we're going to funk you right on her. We're going to funk you right on her. She said, stop. She said, y'all rap too? Mm-hmm. We said, yes, ma'am. She said, let me hear you, Blondie. When my name is Gwen, but they call me Blonde. Better known as the one and only. I'm 5 foot two, built so fine. 36, 26, 36 down. She said, stop. Yeah, she pointed at me. She said, let me hear you, Cheryl. And I said, they call me Cheryl, and I tell you why, because I got such sexy bedroom eyes. She said, stop. She said, let me hear you, Angie. And she said, Angie B is the what to say. I got chocolate hips and the Milky Way. She said, stop. And then she told one of the guys, go get the band and bring them in here. Bring the drummer. The drummer, the bass player, and the guitar player came in. And then we just started going in with the song, and they were playing behind us. And it was like a jam session. And we started going in with that. We singing the hook and everything. Get up, get up, get up, get up. Back down, you. Right on up. We're going to funk you right on up. So people were in there dancing, and it was like we was having a concert right there in the room. The music was created in that room. The everything, the melodies to the song, all the ingredients to the song was right there that night. And so she said, looked at us, and she said, I'm going to make you girls stars. She said, I'm going to send for y'all next Thursday, and you're going to fly into Jersey. I have someone to pick y'all up, and we're going to go and cut this and get this out on y'all. And we was like, you know, happy, like, is she telling us the truth? Is this going to be, please don't lie. She said, no, I'm going to make y'all stars. And we said, okay. She said, I got the Sugar Hill Gang. Now I got three girls. So that was her thing. And she knew that we had talent from the other songs that we were singing that she liked, but it just didn't catch her like Funk You Up did. So the Sugar Hill Gang was performing. We asked her, could we go on stage with them? And she said, yeah, go on out there. And we went out there, and we were like jamming with them on stage. So now everybody in South Carolina sees these three, you know, hood girls on the stage with the Sugar Hill Gang getting it in. And so that became the talk of the town. By my birthday, we left out that Thursday. She called us, and of course we had to go through it with our parents because Angie wasn't old enough. I had just graduated from high school and was on my way to Benedict College. And I had to come out of college during that time to go do this. And we had to talk Angie's parents into letting her go and let her know that we would look out for each other, we would take care of each other. And they eventually said yes. So we left out, we went to Jersey. They picked us up, Harold picked us up because we knew Harold and she knew we knew Harold. So she sent him to pick us up. We stopped by the studio. She gave each one of us $100 a piece to go get something to eat, take our clothes to the hotel, and for Harold to bring us back. So we came back, and we started cutting. We went in and started jamming with the guys, and then they laid the track. We did the vocals. Everything was good. We came back the next day. I think we went in like 7 or 8 o'clock that night. We didn't get out till morning. It was daybreak when we came out. And then went back in. We went and got some rest and came back. And we did some overdubs on some things, and she wouldn't let nobody touch the board. The last thing was put on was hand claps, because back then they didn't have the clap machines and all of that. We had to stand and do the claps for ourselves. And everything was good. She mixed it, mastered it, and then she sent it to Frankie Crocker and Mr. Magic. Frankie Crocker was at WBLS. God bless his soul, and she sent it to Mr. Magic. Mr. Magic was coming up with his station and breaking a lot of the hip-hop music. She got great feedback from playing it, and we came back home. So my birthday was November the 19th. I turned 19 that year. We heard the song on the radio on WOIC here in South Carolina, and we jumping and yelling and screaming, oh, it's on the radio, we're so happy, my mom's, everybody here. And they were like, yo, they really did it. They really did a record, you know. And so by Andy's birthday, Angie turned 18 that year, December the 18th. We were on the road. We had to meet with the Sugar Hill Gang. I think it was in Charleston, South Carolina. And from that day forward, we traveled with them from Angie's birthday on until, I think, for like 6 months, we were out there on the road just going from place to place with the Sugar Hill Gang. We came back in, and we did Jam Jam for their album, which they were releasing. They had more music than we had at the time, but she wanted us to do something together. So we did Jam Jam with them, and we kept traveling. And then the other groups started coming, Grandmaster Flash, The Furious Five, Funky 4 Plus 1, The Treacherous 3, The Crash Crew, Busy Bee, Spoonie G. They just kept coming. The groups kept coming because the company became like a magnet for hip-hop at that time. And I think it was Robinson nephew, Earl, was like the street dude. So he went and got the Furious and all of them and brought them back over. And Miss Robinson called me up to listen to their music, to get my input on their music. And then she signed them to her company, in which she had basically taken the best of the best. And this record label became what it is, Sugar Hill, a big record label at that time, independent label. So that's kind of our story. You know, I did 3 hours there.
I wanted to ask you this, and I appreciate you being descriptive, because, like, I was actually picturing everything you were saying because you answered that question so vividly. But I wanted to ask you, how was it? Because most people would expect to have a man owning a record label. That was Sylvia Robinson, a woman. So how was it? Discovered by a woman and working for a woman, how was that experience? Because when most people think of record label owners, they think of, you know, a man. You know what I'm saying? So back then, you had a woman running things.
Yes.
And not only did she sign the first Ladies of Hip Hop, which was the Sequence, but you said she also had the best of the best. Sugar Hill Gang, Furious Five. So how was that working for a woman back then of power? How did that influence you? Did that, like, give you an attitude? I can do anything. So how was that working for Sylvia coming out the gate?
Yeah, she's very down to earth. She's never been mean to anybody. She was not to me. She taught me how, as she would say, come here, Cheryl, let me teach you how to bake a cake. Because when everybody else was about doing their thing, I was in the studio. I didn't leave. I didn't have to be paid to be there, because my grandmother was saying, well, if you're not going to go, but you better learn what you can learn where you get. And I said, yes. So I she's giving me this opportunity. She made me the head of her A&R department. In fact, I think I'm one of the first females at my age, at 19, that was running the A&R department. She made me, her and her son Joey. I produced a lot of work with Joey Robinson for the West Street Mob. Let's Dance. I know you got the fever. Let's Dance. A lot of that stuff in there, I was basically working with a little bit of everybody. I helped with Eighth Wonder. I'm a writer on Eighth Wonder. I'm a writer on Apache. Me and Angie are the vocalists for Dance and some of the other work that was. So working with Ms. Robinson was an experience, but was a good experience for me as a female. You know, next to Ms. Robinson, I think I'm the first female up under Ms. Robinson to produce hip-hop tracks that went out, things for culture. I'm the next in line. But Ms. Robinson, to know her, to be around her, she was a classy lady. She had style. She had class. She wouldn't allow us to go past, like I say, some of the stuff that they're doing now. We couldn't do that. If you hear some of the works that was coming out of that company, if there was any form of curse word or anything, there was a beat there because we had to also realize that children was listening to our music, and she did not want that to go out in a bad way or for Ray not to play it because we were being too much. So she kept us in a place where we had style and we had class, and we didn't have to be naked to sell music. You know, we didn't have to go to the levels in which they're going through now to be heard and to be seen and to be respected as a hip-hop artist and as a female. And we were females. There were only one other female, and that was in the Funky Four with the Funky Four Plus One, and that's Shaw Rock. It was only four females on the bus to travel with, I think, about 20 or 30 guys. It was like three or four buses of us. But we were the only four females. At first, it was just me, Angie, and Gwen, and Blondie, and the Sugar Hill Gang with the band. And then when the other groups came along, there was Shaw Rock. So we kind of took Shaw Rock up on our wings and started teaching her the things that had been taught to us and how to stand out on that stage and own it. And I tell people, we didn't do that many clubs back then. We did 30,000 seaters, 30,000, 60,000 seaters. So when they did the Sugar Hill tour, we was out there with everybody that we, you know, we were competing with was from the same company. And we got the best. We got a chance to also work with Confunction, the Gap Band. Oh, my God, the names go on of the different people that we traveled with along the way. Sky, I think we did something. We didn't do with Stephanie, but Evelyn Champagne King. We were out there. It was mixing up with the R&B and the hip-hop. But the hip-hop was becoming more dominant with the crowd because we were the crowd pleasers. We were the ones that was getting the people out of their chairs and making them react to the throw their hands in the air. Everybody say, hold, the things that they're still using now in the hip-hop game. But Ms. Robinson was it's not when I was growing up and I heard Pillow Talk, I always said, God, if I could one day meet this lady. And when I finally met her, I was a big fan, but she treated me like a daughter. That's the type of person she was.
And that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah. Her husband, Joe Robinson, was a good man, too. I think the only thing that made this company and has haunted this company over the years is the contracts that they gave us. I think their intentions were good in the beginning, but the paperwork put it where they looked like they were robbing their artists, and that was not good. And that has been a big part of why the label didn't go any further, because people were wanting their rights as children and as, because we were kids coming into 18, 19, and 20 years old. You didn't have the money to get a lawyer to go over your contract. So we were so excited, we just signed, and we signed our rights over. And that's what happens with young kids that are eager, and they have the talent, but we don't know the business. So, and I, Ms. Robinson once told me, if I could do it all over again, sure, I would do it differently. And that told me that she didn't like it either. You know, papers were given to us that I don't think they were their papers to give to us. It was from people that was fronting them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you another question, and then I'm going to turn you over to Valerie and let Valerie come in and ask the question she has for you. Now,
okay.
You all being hip hop's first ladies, There's so many acts came behind you all that you all opened the door for, such as Salt and Pepper, JJ Fad, Oaktown 357, MC Light, Queen Latifah, Moni Love, Roxanne Shante. All these ladies came in after you all. So you all opened the door for women to be MCs, to be rappers, because you all are the first. So I would like for you to share with us, like, the feeling that you went through in 2016 during the VH1 Hip Hop Honors. Explain that, because I know I seen a video where you felt snubbed by VH1 and the Hip Hop Honors. So can you just explain to us exactly what went on during the honors and exactly how you felt and why you felt the way you felt?
Well, they flew us in, they put us in nice hotels in the whole nine, and then they call us to come to the venue. We go to the venue, and Angie, you know, Angie, the original Angie B is Angie Stone, and Angie has been traveling the roads doing R&B stuff for many, many years. And as we were walking, I guess you walked us through whatever, the people take pictures and all of that, she was saying, no, everything is wrong. It's not set up correctly. From the beginning, she spotted it. And we talked to MC Light. She was like, yo, man, I said, honored to see all three of y'all together. She said, I had two records I bought. She said, the other one I don't even know. She said, Blondie, because of Blondie, I knew that she had that raspy voice like I did, that I could rap, that I could do that, I could do this. And so that made us feel good. Later on, we saw Salt and Pepper. We saw Salt. And she was like, what's wrong? Because Angie, it was bringing tears to her eyes. And she was like, I don't even want to go in there. And I was like, what's wrong, B? She was like, nah, this is not right. Something ain't right here. So we say, let's just go through it. We don't have to go out there. Let's just go through it, watch and see what they do, and go from there, make a decision from there. So she said, okay. So Salt was like, yo, Angie, don't cry. She said, this ain't right. What they doing ain't right. And she said, I know. She said, but, you know, I'm going to give y'all props because, you know, we all came through after y'all, and I'll make sure I speak my truth there. And I said, we said, okay. So we went in, and we got up in the to where we were seated at. And, you know, they had Queen Latifah and all of the rest of them sitting to the left on the other side of us. They had us separated from which we were called. These are our daughters. You know what I'm saying? They're following us, and they doing a damn good job with what they're doing. Want nobody to think that we slight any of them because we love them. And so we sat in the position where they set us at. A fight broke out there, and we were like, we could have been knocked over this banister. Anything could have happened where they left us over away from our children. So when it was time for them to come, after we watched the show, we watched everything, Salt said what she said, and she did what she said, did props and sequence, and Sha-Rock, and all of the females that came before me, Lisa Lee and a lot of other ladies, she gave that shout out. But when it was time, after we saw what we saw, we got up and we was getting ready to walk out. And she said, let's go. I said, I'm with you on that one. So we were getting ready to walk out, and this lady come up and say, yo, we get ready to take y'all to the back. I said, take us to the back for what? The show is about over with. You know what I'm saying? The show is about over with, so what are we going back there for? The finale, you put our pictures up on the wall. You know the pictures are there. You're telling people we're here, and now you just want us to come out at the end? No, we leaving. We gone. We out, and we left. And that was that. That was that.
Wow.
Because we felt disrespected. You know, you can't be the first of something and then people try to push you up under the rug. You're not going to get past Sugar Hill Records. You're not going to get past the first rap group you heard with the Sugar Hill Gang and the Sequence. You're not going to get past that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to sweep us up under the rug and think that we'll just fall for whatever it is because it's a television show, no, that don't work with us. That wasn't going to do anything for us. So we walked out, you know.
Right.
We walked out. But we don't blame the females. We don't blame any of the females. I think that VH1 should have done their research. They need to stop trying to say that hip-hop only started, you know, it didn't start. It's like you're saying it didn't start in 79 or it didn't start in 75 with the Bronx and their tales from the Bronx of hip-hop. And then from the time from the streets to actually selling music, you're not going to get past Sugar Hill Records. And you're not going to get past the Sugar Hill Gang and the Sequence. I don't care who you are.
And that's so, real talk. That's
yeah. It doesn't get no better than that. That's real. Those are facts. You know? Good, bad, or indifferent, we all had our input into what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the females, we planted the seeds. We went from state to state, from country to country to whatever, to plant seeds so that other females can come in it and feel comfortable in it. Not be degraded in it, but be comfortable in who you are and what you represent. See, we had our mothers, our grandparents, we had everybody dancing to those records. So we had to respect ourselves so that my little nieces that's running around, we all funky right on us, the Sugar Hill Gang hip hop, hip, but they know the songs all the way through from the youngest to the oldest. You could play that any cookout and everybody going to get on the floor and start dancing, even to this day. I think Dr. Dre, he remixed it with Keep the Heads Ringing. Erykah Badu, she redid it. De La Soul recut it. Trina recut it. So the music keeps going on. People keep touching our songs over the years, and that keeps us relevant whether people see us or not, you know?
I want to interject and ask you a couple questions based on what you said, because I want to slow that down. There seems to be a bunch of controversy in the news. Jermaine Dupri, I think, was the latest person to vocalize his disgust regarding, you know, the respect that pioneers get. And then also Lil' Kim, of course, is screaming out loud, but hers is more territorial as opposed to having any historical significance per se, right? Because she should be putting out more music, and she's been promising her fans. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I want to read something to you, Ms. Cheryl, and I want to get your take on this. And then, like I said, I want to slow it down so that our listeners, especially the young ones, will get a clear understanding what actually happened. So, Cheryl, I want to read something to you. And, of course, a lot of times these are from just miscellaneous sources, right? And so may or may not require additional citations for verification. But I think that a lot of this description will be on point. Philip brought up the Hip Hop Honors. And so I'm just going to read something. It says the Hip Hop Honors is an annual event that airs on VH1. The television special honors old school and golden age hip hop rappers and contributors for their long-term influence and importance in the history of hip hop culture. And then it talked about, it mentions a lot of their attendees, such as Russell Simmons, MC Light, Chuck D, Beastie Boys, KRS-One, Flavor Flav, Ice Cube, Wu-Tang Clan, and many more. Now, this is the part I wanted to bring to your attention, because as they describe it, they said that this award show is highly valued amongst hip-hop award shows, who base their honorees off commercial value rather than their historical significance. And I think that that's the direction a lot of these award shows are going towards. Would you agree or disagree that it's not, they're not paying tribute to the pioneers, and that's why a lot of the pioneers are not getting respect, because they are more, they lean more towards the commercial value at that moment, whether it be digital and, you know, so forth and so on.
Right. Well, yeah, that's a problem. It's always going to be a problem until it's straightened out, you know. It's going to be a problem. They don't know that Russell Simmons, I got Russell Simmons in our show that we did down at the Roxy Theater when I first met Russell. Russell couldn't even get in. You understand? So Russell was going from show to show watching everything that Sugar Hill was doing. So when he came out, he knew what he was doing. He was like, sure, they won't let me in. And I'd say, hold my hands. I got you. And so I had my hands going in, and the bouncer knocked his hand off of mine. And I said, no, he's with us. And he said, he's with you. I said, he's a part of what we're doing. So that's how he got into our concerts. They can all sit out there, but they all know the truth. They all know the truth.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to either be with one of the sequins, or they admired each one of us differently. One time Russell tried to get me to come to his office. He wanted me to see the new things that he was doing before he came out with Run DMC. But, you know, at that time I was young. I didn't know that many people in New York, and I wasn't taking a chance on going somewhere with somebody I didn't know. But he always respected me. Anywhere he sees me, he always respects. And these are the people that we need to speak up for the work that we did, because we influenced them to do what they did.
Right.
You know?
And well, why do you think that it is that people aren't speaking up? Like, do you think that there's a fear there for either their reputation or their own, you know, their money, their brand, or a lot of people are just narcissistic? What do you think that the truth, where does the truth lie?
I really don't know why they feel like they need to not speak on us. But if you get in a room and you bring up the sequence, then they're going to start talking. But if nobody brings it up, nobody's going to say nothing. But see, I'm coming with my own company, Black Bottom Entertainment, and I'm getting ready to show the world exactly what Mr. and Ms. Robinson taught me. And my
first album is
titled Black First. So everybody needs to know that I'm not the one to play with. You could play with all of the rest of them. I know my worth. I know my worth. You know what I'm saying? I know who I am, and I know what I'm capable of doing because of Sugar Hill Records.
Right.
So everybody played their hands. They played their hands as far as I'm concerned, because I see you, but you don't see me.
Right.
And you don't have a clue of who I am and what I'm capable of doing. So I let them do what they do. But when I stand in front of God, in front of the world, to present all of this new music and these new opportunities, these young kids that got crazy talent that nobody's paying attention to, they're going to be in a world of shock.
Speaking of the kids, you mentioned during that same interview that you guys had to figure it out. And a lot of the kids, in my opinion, they're kind of just mimicking, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing what's popular. You guys sold more than 500,000 copies in 3 weeks. So that,
to
me, says a lot.
Yes.
What do you think that, what conversations need to be had nowadays, being that, again, there's such a great divide. People aren't speaking up. People are very protective of their own. They're taking care of home. They're not speaking out. Therefore, a lot of history is being erased and people aren't being respected. So what do you want to say to the younger generations? What kind of conversations are you having with the young people on Facebook, I guess, particularly? Because I know there are a lot of people on Facebook.
Right. I when they ask me questions, I try to tell the truth. If they're young, I suggest you, because they got too many books out here now. We didn't have that. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the books that we could give that information to ourselves. You had to either somebody teaching you something or somebody telling you something back then. Now they have all this information that is free. Get your stuff copywritten. When you do your work, mm-hmm. make sure your paperwork is straight at the bottom. If you're dealing with people that want to take everything from you, run away from them as fast as you can. Because it's not, you don't want to sell your soul for this.
Gotcha.
You don't want to give up everything. I'm still fighting for publishing rights, me, Angie, and Gwen, on our music to this day, because not the Robinsons are not doing it. You got Universal and you got Warner Music Group that has taken this publishing and refused to give us back what is rightfully ours after 35 years. So we're still fighting for our rights for the music we did from 79.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. At my company, the artists keep all their publishing. I don't need their publishing. I'm a writer myself.
Right.
I'm going to get my own stuff. So I don't need their stuff, and I'm trying to show them how to protect themselves. Either if you're with me or you're not with me, and you decide to go
mm-hmm.
on, your rights, you keep your rights, because that's for you and your family. That's the long-term stuff that you need to be able to take care of your family with, you know.
Right.
So make sure you got a good lawyer and make sure that all your paperwork is up and up. Sometimes you got to have two or three lawyers. You got to
right.
get opinions
now,
from
Ms.
each
Cheryl,
one of them differently. Yeah.
Would you be open to being like a judge on some of these shows like America's Got Talent, doing a few reality shows to get the story out? Because I looked everywhere, and I don't know if you're like if you're getting ready to do a biopic, if that's something that's in the very near future. But, I mean, to me, to get the story out and to keep it – okay.
Keep it
so
alive,
So recently Jermaine Dupri was in the news, right? And because of what he said, because you said something very similar where you said a lot of these new acts kind of have the same energy, and he – something he said went viral. I don't even think it's been 2 weeks now, but he is now doing something along the lines where they're going to open the doors for a lot of these up-and-coming female to honor them, not so much honor them, but give them a shot, you know, at stardom. What about partnering with people like Jermaine Dupri, and, you know, or what are your relationships with people like Busta Rhymes and a lot of the people who sample your work? What can we do? I guess, long story short, what can we do as a people to keep this fire burning and get that out there, but also expose you to this new generation so that they can see it done right and not just people who are selling their soul to reality TV?
Yeah, I am right here. I like I say, people, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. I talk to my DJs all the time because I love music. And anybody that approach me with something that makes sense, I'm in. If it doesn't make sense, I pass. You know what I'm saying? But no one has approached me about anything. So that is another reason why I'm going to make myself approachable. I'm going to make my music stands for who I am in this game. I do R&B, hip-hop, writing, producing, write, rap, and produce. I do it all, and I am I am one of the creators, because Funk You Up, I think, was really one of the first original rap records.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So I do original stuff on a regular basis. I'm a hook master. I can take something and make something out of nothing. And they'll be like, how did you do that? I didn't hear that. Sure, I didn't hear it. Where did you get that from? I write R&B, I do ballads, I do, you know, crossover, I do stories, I do messages. I do all kind of stuff when it comes down to creativity. So they have to be very creative with their art. Falling down the same lane, you got 1,000 people going in that lane, you're not going to be heard. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, oh, you sound just like this one. Oh, you sound like that one. But when you listen to the Sugar Hill roster, everybody had a different sound. Everybody had a different, the creativity was crazy. So you got to be creative. You know, you got to be creative, and you got to stand firm with what you believe is for you, you know. Like I say, don't sell your soul for it, but, you know, be smart about it. Educate yourself.
Right.
Even when you got to go in and talk with these lawyers, you got to have some type of education for yourself, you know. So get the books. Download it. Read them. Read them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you master the business, you already have already mastered the art. You can run your own, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm approached, if I'm approached by Jermaine or any of them, I'm here. I don't go anywhere. I'm here, you know? And if they're doing something
good, I just
want to
do a quick recap, because I want people to understand that you are one of the original pioneers, and I definitely want them to understand that, you know, there is power in what you're saying. There is power in the lessons that you are in a position, you know, to teach. And I think that it will behoove a lot of people, especially people on all levels, because as you're talking, I'm thinking of all sorts of things, because there are YouTubers who are allowing people on their channels to expose their music, you know, to their viewers. I know that there you guys sampled from all over the world due to your travels. There are a lot of people, you know, who want to be heard, and I think that this message needs to resonate, you know, not just with Americans, you know, with everybody.
With everybody,
because everybody needs, that. So, I mean, having said that, I think that I don't know what Black Bottom Entertainment is doing 2020, but I definitely see some kind of partnership, you know, with something, to get that word out. Because, I mean, anybody who can sell 5,000 copies in 3 weeks, it's definitely not the secret sauce.
We didn't have no videos. We didn't have no videos. We didn't have social media.
Right.
We didn't have anything. It was just the love of the art and the music, you know. And if we did, like you said, free downloads, promotional copies were given to DJs to give to whoever they wanted to give to or whatever, a radio station, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was only a certain amount of promotional copies that was given out, and then everything else was sales. So from the time Funk You Up hit the stores to 3 weeks later, we were at 500,000. Copies in 3 weeks. So you can imagine, like, in 3 months we did like a million or more copies back then, you know. But they just at the 3 weeks, it put us in the Guinness Book of Records. It's the first female rap group to sell 500,000 copies, you know. So that and they didn't have a picture of us on it. It was just a Sugar Hill record thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Matt, kudos to you, because people are still sampling your work. Like I said, you got sounds from all over the world. You have definitely broke the glass ceiling. I normally have like this this sound bite ready. I'm going to play it now because it's delayed. And I tried to play it earlier, but for whatever reason.
Put some respect
reason.
On my name. You understand me? Y'all saying my name? Put some respect on it.
I'm gonna go on and play that now. Definitely that. Yeah. So I don't know if Phyllis has anything else, but I just wanted to again remind people that, you know, you are more than just a colorful conversation. You really are bringing a wealth of knowledge, you know, to the table. A lot of people could benefit from this on all levels.
Thank
you. Know, coming
Thank
in,
you.
The pioneers definitely need to recognize. I have been recently applauding Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, because they're reaching out to a lot of the new girls, like The Stallion, Meg Thee Stallion, and a lot of the girls that come under them, because like I said, when you got your Lil' Kims, and I don't know the full story, but when they're sitting up here saying, I'm going to sit, you know, in the chair and I'm going to be the queen, you know, it's time that you understand that you know, with every generation, there's going to be somebody new. So it would definitely behoove you to just kind of each one teach one and pass the torch on. But that
there
doesn't
you
mean
go.
That your light has to dim because of it. So I
there
want to encourage
go.
Everybody who's listening to please reach out to you. You're on Facebook. And like I said, your Facebook page is your name plus the word music. So
and
I want
I'm
to encourage everybody.
I'm the original Cheryl Pearl on Instagram. So they
on
can
Instagram,
come
okay.
Too. Yes, they
okay.
can come over there. I be on this thing trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm old school,
but we also
want
to create enough buzz to get people's attention, like the Busta Rhymes. You know, Dr. Dre, a lot of those that kind of,
you know, Busta Busta did the sample from 8th Wonder that I was a part of. Woo-ha, got them all the checks, face up your back, it's around your neck. You know, and I love them for that. I just got a kick, a Master P. Make them say, you know, and I forgot I don't want to leave nobody out, but it's amazing.
We just had Young Bleed on the show. He was the master with the... Wait, was that Master P? No, so wrong.
You're right.
Getting the names mixed up. That's right.
Yeah,
but I was
taking
the
song.
That's what threw me off. How you do that there? That's where I got thrown off.
Sorry.
Yeah, they
took the dance. That came from 8th Wonder. I was like, whoa. They flipped it in a different way.
Miss Cheryl, I want you to stop by here at least once a month and let's put some word out and let's teach some people and pass that out. You know what I'm saying? Let's do that's 12 courses a year. Yeah, let's get behind the scenes and have a chat.
I want to take the knowledge you obtained ever since you was 19, that you gained from Miss Simmons Robinson, take that old knowledge, mix it with this new knowledge, because the music industry has changed. It's new now. We have social media now. So now I want to be able, with Valerie and yourself, for us to talk about the old versus the new, and how some of the new things, some of the old things can be done now, and it will be considered new, such as street teaming is old, but when you do it now, it'll be new. Then you will still touch more people street teaming than still just sitting behind the computer. Yes. You still need your marketing,
You still got to do
your post for people, but you still got to reach the people. The people got to see you in the street for them to know you real, you human, and that's what sets you all apart from everybody else.
Because that's what Master P did, and he made. That's what he did, and I was very proud when they came out and he was selling out the trunk of his cars, and then everybody else started selling out the trunk of their cars. You know, you got to go to the people, you know, and you got to come to the people with product. People buy what they like, you know. And y'all be ready, because I got a song called Your Way, My Way, which is an R&B song that I'm coming with, and I'm going to make sure I get it to y'all so y'all can play it first. How about that?
I appreciate that. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, package that and give it away, you know, on all the sites and platforms. Definitely that to push the song. If people click a link or give you the email address or something, boom, they can get the song, spread the word that way.
So we're going to talk after we get off the radio. And I'm going to turn you on to who will make that happen for you, you and Valerie, you know, and see how we can do with the downloads and stuff like that, the giveaways, the promotion and stuff. And we're going to make some real stuff happen here. I like you guys. I like
your attitude toward
this, you know, because
you
know, we have to bridge the gap some kind of way. And I'm
right.
down for bridging it, you know?
Yeah.
Because a young person should be able
you.
To come to the mid. Yeah, they should be able to come to, you know, the front liners and get information so that they can travel those roles and be successful as well. So I'm
right.
down
and
with that, you know?
And not get the parable information. But what
there
I want to do, I want to hook up the people who ain't scared to give them each step by step. I don't
there
like the people who just speak in parables, and then at the end of the day, the people like, yeah, I heard you, but I still don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I want to be able to get them each step. This is what you do first. This is what you do second. And it's laid out like a blueprint where if you don't follow it, then it's on you because the steps right there. They go 12 steps of success. All you gotta do is do these 12 steps, from 1 through 12, in order the way they laid out. And if you do it like that, then you should have success. Now,
you know,
other than that,
if I'd have known, what we were gonna be talking about today, I'd have had the copyright information, I'd have had BMI and ASCAP information for you, you know,
and
how to protect yourself.
We're family now, so we'll be right here.
Okay,
and I
shoot the information to y'all, you know.
Hey, you already know the first hit always free, so you know you gotta get the first hit free. So right now they just getting the first hit, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Free, they hitting it right now. They hearing the plans come together right here on the show. So when we get behind the scenes and present it to them, then they'll understand what it is.
Okay. I love all the children. I love everyone that love hip hop. And we want to keep it clean. We want to keep it encouraging. We want, you know, to put the messages out there to help, you know, our people get past some of the stuff. Because music has always been the key to our souls. You know what I'm saying? If we feel good, we put on music. If we feel bad, we put on something to make us feel good. And we got to go back to making that type of music. No bitches, hoes, and busters, and all of this type stuff. We got to uplift and encourage each other, you know? And
definitely.
I think we can do a better job. We can do so much more, you know?
Right.
And I'm
right.
here.
Yeah.
I'm here. And y'all are young, so y'all can get the young ones in our school for you. You know, stop them from walking into them brick walls out there, you know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, well,
it's
I got
a lot
the word. Don't tell me something. I'm out the gate.
Okay.
I'm out the gate before we get out. Definitely. So if Philip has nothing else, I want to get your final words and also your contact information. I'd love also for you to introduce Love Changes, definitely that. So what do you want the people to take away from today's conversation?
To protect yourself. Protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is the key always. You know, if you don't know, go to the library, look up books about the recording industry, social media, the way that they're moving things now, which is different from the way that we were moving them back then. Lawyer up, you know, have your team together. You know, if you plan on being in it for a long run, you know, even if you're just dibbling and dabbling in it, you still want to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, and be creative.
And also, what do you want people to remember about you, the pioneer? Like, you know, you don't want them to forget, you know, outside of the 500,000 copies, outside of the fact that you were the first to do the R&B hip-hop, you know, that style came from you, outside of the fact that you brought in sounds from all over the world. But, like, what did it take to become that? Because you started out a cheerleader, like we mentioned before. You figured it out as a kid. Certain things were instilled. Yeah, so what do you want them to remember? Because these kids nowadays, the reason I'm asking you this, to me, our men are too sensitive, our women are too hard, and these kids, I don't know what they're made of. They're too smart for their own good, and I think that they think that we live in this virtual reality like a video game, and if I die, I can just come back. So what do you want to to say to all of us, the elders who are mimicking the young people, the men who are not stepping up to run the households, the women who are out here just passing out coochie coupons to make, you know, to make it work, and these
Stop
young
it.
Kids who have
Stop
absolutely
it.
no respect for authority.
Yeah, you got to
you know?
Stop it. You got to stop
yeah.
it. We got to go back to respecting ourselves. Respect yourself. That's what the sacred thing has told us to do. Aretha Franklin told us, if you don't respect yourself, ain't nobody going to give a good enough. You know what I'm saying? Respect
Amen.
Yourself. Respect your mother. Respect your grandparents. Go take your aunts and uncles, something, people that done helped raise you to get to where you at right now. If you just
mm-hmm.
do it with your family alone, you help your family. If you have stepped up in this world and you are making a good living, don't forget about those people that Miss Ollie over there across the street where you could go get a sandwich from when your mama wasn't home from work. Respect your community. Respect
mm-hmm.
yourself and respect this culture, this black culture, because they're killing us like flies, and I can't stand it. And we can't be stupid
wow.
for the rest of our lives. We're going to have to go back to where family was family. Friends were friends. Drop the hating stuff. Learn how to love each other.
That's right.
Learn how to take care
it.
Of each other.
I love it.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
I know.
How I feel. We got to get back to that. Barbecues.
Family cookouts,
the community.
Remember, we used to have soul
yes.
food dinner.
Some
we
people
used to
don't
show
even
up at somebody's house every week. Yeah.
Yes, they don't have
we
family
stopped
reunions.
Doing that. I tell you, I don't know.
Then we're playing spade and doing the things that
yeah.
we like as a culture. We got to go
yeah.
back to that and stop bringing the guns to family functions and stuff. That, you know, don't bring drama there. Come there in love and peace. And enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too many
yeah.
of them going in the ground for no reason. Too many
That's
people
right.
shooting people and don't even know the consequences of 30 or 40 years or the rest of your life behind them bars.
That's right.
It's enough
That's
is
right.
enough. Enough is enough.
That's right.
We're better than
yeah.
that. Our ancestors yeah. went through hell for us to get to where we at right now. We got to do better.
Amen.
We
got to
do
yeah.
better. We got to step up
I
and we
got to
do better. You know?
I love it.
So that's why I'm sure I'm everyday people. So you're going to get everyday reaction from me however you come toward me or come to me. I'm going to always be everyday people. I'm always approachable. I'm always open if somebody got questions they want answers to. If I know it,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna teach them. If I don't know it, I'm going to turn them on to someone else that can teach them. You know,
Amen.
You're not alone. You're not by yourself. You just got to find your mentors in your neighborhood, in your community that say, yo, this kid here got something going. We got to get behind him. And we
mm-hmm.
got to protect him. And we got to hold him and let him fly. You know, he can fly. He can do this. That we can do that. That young lady there, she's a lawyer. She got a brain. We got to embrace this. We got to embrace our young, you know, the youth and bring them up to the point where they know that this is how it's supposed to be done. So you're going to have to do this later on down the line. Each one teach one and help the other one,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's me,
okay.
that's Cheryl. Yeah.
That's Cheryl. All right.
That's Cheryl.
Cheryl the Pearl is in the building.
You're going to learn today.
You're going to learn
right.
today. I thank you guys. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, radio station, for having me on. I'm here anytime. Y'all can call me Mama Pearl if you want to, but I'm right here, and I got whatever y'all need. I give it to you as long as it's
Mama
helping somebody.
Pearl,
yes,
I love
I
that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. Thank
yeah.
you so much
okay.
for that. We definitely got to get your contact information. Philip, is there anything else that you'd like to say to wrap this up? And then I want to, don't let me forget, let you introduce Love Changes.
Love Changes.
I want to, to end
now,
with that. Yeah.
Some babies was made off of that one now. I'm going to tell
yeah,
you
know,
that.
Right?
Some babies was made
and
off of that one.
And it's almost 8 minutes.
Shoot,
okay.
The way you guys
yeah.
going, as fast
yeah.
as they come, it's about two, three babies made.
Yeah, some babies was made for that. Let me tell you something. We did a concert in Texas, and we went to, it makes you get down on your knees sometimes. We went down on our knees, and we looked up, and the whole
oh,
place was on
nice.
Their knees. I was like, oh, my God, everybody's on their knees. You know, so that song there makes a baby.
Do y'all have performance videos?
We only did like one video, and I think that was on Simon's show. Videos wasn't
but you know,
it back then.
Cheryl,
it was music.
I'm gonna have to help you put all that somewhere. Because I think somewhere you said that you have social media, but you don't have like some kind of at least a temporary site to house all of this. Because it's oh man, I definitely want to try to do what I can. You know, to pitch
okay.
it. I'm not perfect at everything, but I got it. A few skill sets, yeah, that I think
right.
benefit because I'm really, really excited about you sharing the word. But I could go on and on, so I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let Philip talk so we can wrap this. And I don't want to commandeer your day. Again, big shout out to Jeff, and I think I saw Lambert Davis and a couple other familiar faces in the building. I'm not familiar with a lot of the numbers that are still on the board, but thank you to everybody
yeah.
on social media. Thank you for your tweets
everybody,
and all
thank
your love.
You.
Yeah, thank you, definitely that. Man, I tell you, this is beautiful.
Much love and respect.
All right, so,
yes.
Philip, do you have anything you'd like to say before we get her contact information and the Love Changes intro?
I just pay homage. You know what I'm talking about? To the people who come before me, to
yeah.
the first ladies of hip hop. You got to give it to them. So, you know, much respect, much love, auntie, mama, first lady, whatever the case may be, you get your respect because you did
Thank
earn
you.
That. And
Thank
so
you.
I'm going to give it to you. Anybody
Thank
listening on across the airways, you know, you got to just pay respect. You got to give respect where it is due. And these ladies have paid their respect and they still here doing their thing. So I look
Thank
forward
you.
To... you know, doing more work with you, you know what I'm saying, as
okay.
we move forward, as Valerie just said, we're going
right.
to make some things happen. But outside of that, y'all know what it is, man. As always, I enjoyed it. I am Philo the Great, P-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E-G-R-E-A-T on all social media sites. And go to philothegreat.com to the website, bossradiolive.com. For the radio info, and as always, get with it or quit it. Barbecue me or do some will, some won't, some do, some don't. And if you got a problem with anything, I said you got two choices: either check it or respect it. You heard me, Valerie? Don't.
Yeah. So, Mama Pro, we want you to go on now and give out all of your social media. Facebook, definitely slow that down, spell it, you know, so people get it right, and then also your Instagram page. And
okay.
any other updates regarding Black Bottom Entertainment before I forget, because I keep writing it down, but then I keep forgetting
yeah.
to ask you, what does your 2020 look like?
2020 is Black Bottom Entertainment CEO, Cheryl LaPearl. You can come to Instagram. It's the original Cheryl LaPearl. I'm there. On Facebook, it got Cheryl LaPearl, and then it got Cheryl LaPearl 2. So I got two different pages over there. That they can come to. I haven't done much on Twitter. I just go from one to the other and then I stop. But those two pages I definitely be on a daily basis. They can. We're working on the website and all of the other stuff for Black Bottom. I got a great roster of artists coming from their young people that have submitted music to me. The company is not open yet, but the music keep coming and it's great talent. That I approve of to represent Black Bottom. So that's what it is, you know. And y'all get ready
Thank
for
you.
Love Changes. Yeah, Love Changes. Yeah, the sequence is doing all kind of things back then, yeah. So I hope y'all enjoy the old as well as the new.
Thank you.
Okay?
Here we are, guys. Love Changes. This is our tribute to you. Thank you so much, Mama Pearl. And we'll
okay.
see you on the other side. We'll have a quick chat
okay.
you know, here in a little bit. We got another show quick following this one, but We appreciate you so much. Again, big shout
You're
out to
welcome.
Jeff Kwan. And I'm sorry I held you hostage over the time,
it's
I promised.
Right?
But yeah, it got good. And yeah, so we just got to make sure that we expose you to as many of these youngsters as possible. But thank you again. Appreciate you so
You're
much.
Very
I'm going to give you an applause. Yeah,
Yay.
Thank you. All right, guys, as Mama Pearl mentioned, this is Love Changes. Have a great rest of the day, and we will see you Friday, Judge Joe Brown Show, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We're about to do a show on the other platform at 7 Eastern Time. 516-666-9834 is the number you need to remember. All right, talk soon.
Thank you.
This song to anyone who's ever been through changes, man, woman, chicken, child, he, she, him or her, or anything in between. Right now, Angie's gonna express how we feel about changes.
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.